Daniel Pink looks to change the way we live by changing how we think. From To Sell as Human to Drive to A Whole New Mind, Pink's New York Times bestselling books illuminate the hidden forces that affect our lives in major ways. His new book is When, The Scientific Secrets of Perfect Timing, showing us the keys to timing our decisions and actions so that we can thrive both personally and, of course, professionally. Drawing on a range of scientific research in the fields of psychology, biology, economics, and anthropology, Pink reveals how we can use the hidden patterns of the day to succeed in all facets of our lives. Again, the name of the new book is When, The Scientific Secrets of Perfect Timing, and we welcome Daniel Pink to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us, sir. I appreciate it.
Joe, thanks for having me.
All right, so what brought you around to When, the idea of timing?
You know, it's really personal. I was making all kinds of timing decisions myself about when to do things. So when in the day should I do certain kinds of work? When in the day should I exercise? When should I start a project? When should I abandon a project? And I was making those decisions, I think like most of us do, in a pretty haphazard way. So I wanted to make smarter decisions. I started looking at see if there was any research on this, and it turned out there was a huge amount of research out there in all the fields that you just mentioned, Joe, that where even though there are different academic enterprises, they're asking very, very similar questions. How does time of day affect what we do and how we do it? How do beginnings affect what we do and how we do it? Endings, midpoints. And so I took a couple of years to look very carefully at this mountain of research, and I think that we can make better, smarter, shrewder, evidence-based when decisions using this research.
How has technology, and you write about this, but how has technology changed our idea of time and when is the right time and when is the wrong time?
You know, I think it's had a positive effect and a negative effect. I mean, I think it's definitely increased cycle times. It's increased accelerated response times, so we can get in touch with people quickly. We can get answers quickly. I think the downside of it, and it comes out in some of the research, is that we're always attached. And one of the things that comes out in the research on timing is actually how important breaks are. Breaks are enormously important to our physical, mental well-being, to our productivity and creativity at work. And one of the facets of breaks that comes out in the research is how important it is to have breaks that are fully detached. And human beings just we need to be recharged. And so taking a break with your nose in your Instagram feed is not really a break. And so so in that sense, technology has been hurting our ability to take breaks. And again, what we know is that breaks are much more important than most of us realize.
You're a big fan of the nap.
Not all. I'm a converted fan. So, you know, converts are always the most zealous adherents of something. So in the past, when I took naps, I hated it. I would wake up feeling groggy. I would wake up feeling ashamed of myself in some ways for being so lazy. And I realized that I was napping wrong. What the research tells us on naps is that naps are very powerful ways to restore our energy during the early to mid-afternoon trough. But a certain kinds of naps are more effective. That very short naps deliver enormous bang for the buck. So even naps of about 10 to 20 minutes are really the ideal napping time. They give you the benefits of a nap. And to me, naps are sort of like Zambonis for our brains. That is, they smooth out the ice, you know, after it's been nicked over the course of a day. And 10 to 20 minute naps give us all of the restorative benefits of a nap without that sleep inertia, that groggy, boggy feeling. And in fact, the ideal nap in many ways is to have a cup of coffee first, then take a short nap. And what happens is that the coffee takes about, the caffeine takes about 25 minutes to get into your bloodstream. So you take a 15 minute nap. When you're waking up, you've got the restorative power of the nap layered on top of the caffeine boost you're about to hit. So that technique, taking a cup of coffee before you have a short nap, is known as a nappuccino.
All right. Give us a little brief on what the science of timing is. What do we know scientifically about timing?
Well, we know a huge amount, and what we know more than anything else is that these questions of when we do things matter a lot. They matter much more than we realize. So let's take even something, the unit of a day. It's pretty clear that we proceed through the day in three key stages: a peak, a trough, a recovery. Now, most of us move in that order. Those of us who are night owls tend to go in the reverse order. But what the research shows is that we should be doing certain kinds of work during these certain stages. So, for instance, the peak, which for most of us is the morning, that's when we're better at doing analytic work, work that requires heads down, focus, analysis, vigilance, eliminating distractions. During the trough, which for most of us is the early to mid-afternoon, that's not good for very much. What we should be doing is some of our administrative work. And then during the recovery, which for most of us is the late afternoon and early evening, what we should be doing is our creative work, because that's a time where our mood goes back up, but we're less vigilant, and that makes it a good time for brainstorming. And so even if we, you know, our, especially our bosses, allow us to move certain kinds of tasks to different parts of the day, we can do better. There's research showing that time of day, just simply the time of day, explains about 20% of the variance in how people perform on workplace tasks. So timing isn't everything necessarily, but it sure is a big thing.
Assuming a task has a beginning, a middle, and an end, the timing of each one of those is important, you point out.
Sure thing. So beginnings matter significantly more than, again, like many of these things that we realize. So you take something fairly alarming, like research from Lisa Kahn at Yale University on the beginnings of careers. It turns out that if you take two people, you know, similarly situated, you know, same kind of college, same major, et cetera, one graduates in a recession, one graduates in a boom. Not surprisingly, the person graduating in a boom is going to be able to find a job more quickly. But that effect of when they graduate shows up in their wages 20 years later. It's really remarkable. So beginnings have an outsized effect on us. Midpoints sometimes bring us down, sometimes fire us up. So if you look at simply the pattern of well-being among adults over time, we tend to be fairly happy and buoyant in our 20s and 30s. We begin to decline in our 30s. In our 50s, especially our earlier 50s, we hit rock bottom, but then everything ticks back up. It's a U-shaped curve for well-being. So the midpoint sometimes makes us sag, but other times it fires us up. And endings also have a big effect on our behavior. They can increase our motivation. They can get us to energize. They have a big effect on how we remember things. They have a big effect on how we navigate our life and what we consider important.
What do you hope the takeaway is from the book for people to understand about the win in their lives?
Yeah, the big thing is that we are very deliberate about and intentional about what we do. So my guess is that most of your listeners who are at work or going to work or have a to-do list, we write it down. We're very intentional about what we do. We're very intentional about how we do it, even who we do it with. And so this is true in workplaces. It's true in schools. Schools spend a lot of time. What are we going to teach? How are we going to teach it? Who's going to teach it? And yet we take this question of when and say, it's not as important. We don't even think about it. And it's important. I'm saying it's more important than what or who or how, but it's as important. And if we start taking these questions of when seriously, if we start looking at the science behind how to do things a little bit better, what we're going to see is actually our kids are going to learn more, our health is going to improve, and we're going to be happier and more productive in our working lives.
Daniel Pink is the author of the new book, When, The Scientific Secrets of Perfect Timing. The book is published by Riverhead Books. Daniel, it's always a pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for being with us this morning.
Thanks for having me, Joe. I appreciate it.
A great pleasure. Thank you. Again, the name of Daniel Pink's latest is When, The Scientific Secrets of Perfect Timing, published by Riverhead Books. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.